God continue with this Bible and science. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is absolutely true in every way. And one of the things I've encountered as a scientist, particularly being among scientists, which were many of my contemporaries and my peers in life, is this statement that keeps being thrown in my face. Well, of course, Brother McElmurray, you know, well, they don't call me Brother McElmurray. They either call me Dr. McElmurray or Mr. McElmurray. You realize that the Bible is full of contradictions. And I tell them, no, I don't realize that. Would you show me one? And they never are able to show me one. And many times when I get on planes and I fly from place to place and I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, this statement pops up continually. They say, of course, you realize there are many contradictions in the Bible. And I say, no, there aren't any contradictions in the Bible, and they'll start quoting some of them to me. So down through the years in the field of science, I've had many different things thrown at me in the Bible to show there are contradictions. But instead of showing the things as contradictions, they have merely strengthened and shown that God is the only one who knows what he's talking about. Now, during the course of this study for Sunday school, we're going to be talking about a lot of different words. And I'll throw this chart up on the screen when we come to them. Because I want you to understand that this King James translation, when it uses these words, is right on. It's exactly what it means. It's exactly what it says. Now, science was not in the original writings, the word science itself. However, it was one of the disciplines of understanding. The word is used a couple of times, but it's not science as we understand it. So when we come to these words, circle, day spring, compass, circuits, highest, divide, and full of labor, I'll go back to this chart and show you how many of these contradictions that so-called scientific scholars and geniuses swear up and down prove that the Word of God is not inspired. I think you'll see how ridiculous it is. Now, we're going to be dealing with science, and so we're going to take a look first at Daniel 1, 3, and 4, a use of it in the Old Testament. Daniel 1, 3, and 4. And the king spoke unto Ashpaz, the master of the eunuchs, this was Daniel in Babylonian captivity, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. Now, there's no crime in understanding science. And many times I've run into this. In our work, I've run into people who say, well, I don't want to know anything about science. Well, true science is of God. False science is not. And true science can always be proven, but false science will always remain a theory. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So Daniel was one of them picked out, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and others. And they were taught the different things that the Chaldeans had learned, but the wisdom of God that was implanted in these men was far superior to anything the Chaldeans taught them. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Now, there are many oppositions to science and all to the Bible. There are many oppositions that scientists put forward to the Bible, but they are falsely so called, because they can't prove them. And until you can actually put scientific proof to something, then you cannot say it's of God. When something is absolutely, positively proven to be true, then that's true science and it's of God, and I've never found any contradiction in the Word of God in anything he said. Some of the things I'm going to show you, I hope really impress you to the extent that you realize that this book we call the Bible is not only perfect historically, theologically, and linguistically, but it's also perfect on a scientific basis. And this gives additional faith strengthening to us because we realize that God knows everything there is to know about everything. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I would say in the last 50 years we've had a knowledge explosion that has exceeded anything that ever possibly occurred before that. And man now thinks that he is brilliant. He thinks that he has understood everything there is to understand about everything. And so now, quite frankly, This book is looked upon, this book we call the Bible, as an old antiquated book that might have some truth in it, and it might have some historical value, but for all practical purposes, it's useless. And in truth, that book is a science book that was written that had things in it that scientists, back at the time it was written, had no idea existed. And those are some of the things that we're going to take a look at in this study. First of all, let's take a look at a standard quote from a textbook. The earth's place in the universe. It was natural for ancient man to think of his home as the center of all that was known to exist at that time. When wandering tribes settled down to form communities and nations, these too were thought of as centers of the entire area. Man also believed that the earth was central to the surrounding heavens, which carried the sun, moon, and stars around the sky. They thought the earth stood still and the sun and all the planets rotated around it. I'm going to show you that at the time that man thought this, God's word clearly revealed by the writers of that day that it wasn't true. Each of the ancient civilizations developed a model of the earth to fit its own beliefs. The one thing that all of these models seem to have in common is that they placed the earth, or at least a part of it, at the center of the universe. God's word never did that. And God's word was in existence back at the time of Moses when he first wrote it. And so at that time, this is what people believed, and it was ridiculous. But God's word repudiates that. And so God knew how the earth was formed. He knew how the universe was made. He created it. And so we're going to take a look at some things in the Word of God that clearly repudiated what men of that day believed. And it's only in recent times that we've discovered the truths of the universe, and they do not conflict with God's word. Man has been the one that's off track, not God. Overcoming these early beliefs required thousands of years of effort. Required no effort on God's part. He made the whole shebang. Thoughtful men observed and compared their findings with these ancient models. It was not until men like Galileo and Kepler gathered enough evidence to show that the earth was just one of several minor bodies circling around the sun that finally moved the earth from its central place in the universe. The shape of the earth. Evidence for the earth's actual shape can be gathered from several familiar observations. The important thing to realize, and what I'm going to show you, is that, number one, God has always known how creation was made because he formed it. These crazy beliefs that man had in ancient times were all wrong. But God's view from the Bible was perfect. And it's only now, as we've run to and fro and accrued this knowledge, that God keeps looking smarter and smarter, and we keep looking dumber and dumber. Now, at the time the Bible was written, here's how man looked upon the universe. In other words, man could not believe that the earth was just setting out in space. Something had to hold it up. God's always known what held it up. Man didn't. We're going to take a look at that in a moment. The universe, as conceived by the Egyptians, was a combination of gods. Heb, the earth god, lay beneath the arching goddess of the heavens, who was supported by the god of the atmosphere. Boats carrying the sun and moon gods sailed across the heavens. So the point here I really want to make on this is all the ancient cultures believed something substantial had to be holding the earth up. It couldn't just be floating in space. Here's a Hindu belief. One Hindu idea of the earth had it supported by the backs of elephants who stood on a turtle. Around the entire arrangement was a cobra representing water. All the ancient cultures had this. Now, the Lord indicated the shape of the earth. Man had no idea at the time the Bible was written the shape of the earth. And so this scripture I've had quoted to me out of Isaiah 40:28. And some of the scientists that I went to school with, that I sat under and studied under, they told me that book we call the Bible was an antiquated old book that was worthless. And they said that God believed, according to that book, that the earth was flat, and if you sail far enough, you would go off the end of it. And this is the scripture they quoted, Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? They said, see, that proves it. God believed the earth had an end. I said, no, we use that expression all the time. It goes from latitude to latitude. They said, no, that means that your book is no good, because God also believed the earth was flat, and all that is a reflection of man's writing. And they created this God, and he didn't even know the earth was round, so how can he be God? The creator of the earth, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. So they quote Isaiah 40:28, and of course you can see on the screen Isaiah 40 through 31. But I'm not going to comment on the rest of it because my point is central. Now, Isaiah was written in about 700 B.C. And it is true at that time that most scientists, virtually all scientists, believed the earth was flat. Nobody believed it was round. So if I can prove to you in that same scripture, in the same context in Isaiah 40, that God was the only one who knew it was round at that time, then I'll go a long way in proving to you that when people tell you, we know there are contradictions in the Bible, that they're full of baloney. They don't know what they're talking about. We're going to go backward in Isaiah 40 and let God have his full say. You'll discover that these things are quoted out of context. So let's go back in Isaiah 40 and let's take a look at Isaiah 40, 19 through 22, just above 28. The workman melteth a craven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a craven image that will not be moved. This is what man degenerated to. After the fall, man turned into his own god, and when he felt insecure, he began to try to create other gods, and he made his own god and fell down and worshipped it. That's the height of stupidity. And the scientists of that day were just as stupid. And today the scientists that do not believe in the Lord are just as stupid spiritually. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understand from the foundation of the earth? Now, here God is going to reveal in 700 B.C. when every other person on this earth believed the earth was flat, that God was the only one who knew it was a circle. Verse 22. It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth. That proves that God knew it was a circle. There's no other way it can be construed. And just to make sure, that's the reason I ran these words off. Because that is the God-breathed Hebrew word, kug. And it means a circle, means just what it says. And so in the same context that these scientists say the word of God is not inspired, going back just a few verses above 28, where they claim God said the earth was flat, it says, it is he that setteth upon the circle. God knew it was a circle. God knew it was an oblate spheroid. God made it. 700 B.C. So if God's the only one who knows that in 700 B.C., you can put full confidence in what God had to say. Now, I'm not trying to use this as a scientific dissertation to get your attention and impress you. Brent talked about worry in his devotional, and Brent kept coming back to the point we needed to turn it over to God to let him handle it. So here's why I'm doing this. To prove without reservation or question that this God made the universe and that he knows everything and man just thinks he knows everything, and that you can turn your problems, your troubles, your worries, your concerns, your woes, your future into the hands of his son, this God who created this universe, and you can do it with full assurance that there is God and that he is real and this book is true, and you can trust the book. Now, a lot of us are older, and we don't have to face what they're facing in colleges today. We don't have to face the teachers in these universities and colleges that are teaching this. And our children do, and our young people do. And so if this is not interesting to you because you're older and you say, well, I always knew that. I always knew the Bible was inspired. I never believed anything otherwise. Why are you teaching me this? Well, it's mostly for the younger generation because they have to face these same scientists that I went to school with and I was under their tutelage. Now, always the ancient cultures had to have something to hold the earth up. They had been corrupted. After Adam's fall, man spread across the earth, and man's mind was corrupted. He made his own gods out of trees, not of wood, not of stone, and fell down and worshipped them. That's how corrupt he was. And his scientific thinking was just as corrupt. And he had the idea that the earth had to be setting on something. It could not possibly just be floating in space. Well, I'm going to show you what many consider to be the oldest book in the Bible. I personally think it was written in the time of the patriarchs. But if that's true, it was around 1200 B.C. Many think it's older than the book of Genesis. I don't. I think it's a patriarchal book. But we're at least talking about 1200 B.C., 1200 years before the birth of Christ. So let's take a look and see if God knew that the earth was suspended in space. Nobody else did. but God did. Job 26:7. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Now notice, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth up on nothing. And hangeth the earth up on nothing. Your God, your Savior, your Lord, made the universe. And back at a time, 1200 B.C., or possibly even earlier, when all the earth, all the people on the earth thought that the earth was flat, or at least most of them did, and that it had to be held up by something, God said, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Furthermore, back in that day and time, everybody believed the earth stood still and the sun rotated around it. But God knew differently. Now, this is not a discourse to impress you with science. It's a discourse to show that the scoffers and the men of today who are teaching in our schools and in our colleges and universities are men whose minds have been corrupted and they cannot accept the truth. The truth is that God's Word has been perfect from the beginning in every way, linguistically, theologically, word breathed, and in science. Now, as the earth moves around the sun, it maintains the same orientation in space. This means that the earth axis is always inclined in the same direction in space toward its orbit. God knew that. Now, here's something that's really interesting. The earth revolves around the sun. Kepler was, and others, but he probably the primary one, was really the first one to discover that the sun does not revolve around the earth, but the earth revolves around the sun. Up until Kepler discovered this, in the age of revolution, the age of gaining of knowledge, up until that time, everybody thought the earth stood still and rotated around the sun. God knew this and wrote about it. Now, I'm not saying the men who wrote this understood it, but God who wrote through them understood it. And as they wrote, as he led them, they wrote the truth without error. Here's Job 38:12-14. I'm going to show you that God knew that the earth rotated. God knew that the earth was hung upon nothing. And God knew that the earth revolves around the sun. Let's take a look at this verse of scripture in Job 38:12-14. This at least has to be 1200 B.C. and it's possibly earlier. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring? All right, what's the day spring? Well, it's when the day springs into existence. The day spring that is used here is shakar, and it means dawn. When you first see the light of the sun, he says, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day springs to know his place? Nobody on earth knew the earth revolved. Nobody at this time except God. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth. Now, here's another one they use. They say, of course, you know the Bible has contradictions, Brother McElmurray. Well, as I said, they don't call me Brother McElmurray. Most scientists have other names for me. They really don't like me because I nail them to the wall with this stuff and it makes me very unpopular with them. They're used to coming up to someone that's a child of God and saying, of course you know there are contradictions in the Bible. And the child of God just kind of melts in front of them and says, yeah, I know, but it's still the Word of God. But there aren't any scientific contradictions. And they make a statement of assumption and think that you're going to start trying to defend it with no ammunition or no case. All right, what is this dawn that knows its place that God established? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth. They said, see? That God thought the earth was flat. God thought it had ends, and if you sail far enough, you'd fall off the end. It is true that ancient man thought that, but not God. This thing you see above is a cylinder. Notice the handle? You ever see one of those things that when they smooth out cement on the back of a truck where it's got a roller in between two things, and you push the roller along behind it? Or sometimes they make these where they're smaller versions where you have two prongs coming out of each end of it, coming back to a central handle, and you push it down over something to compact it down underneath it. Well, the ends of the earth are the North Pole and the South Pole. And God pictures the earth, and for those of you listening on this tape, I'm sorry you can't see this diagram, But it's a picture of the earth. It's got the North Pole and the South Pole on it. And God takes the dawn and has it taking hold of the two ends, the North Pole and the South Pole. Those are the two ends of the earth. And this roller looks like a cement roller that you roll over something, only it's not a cement roller. It's a seal. And what they used to do when they had a lot of documents to sign, they'd have what looked, today we have a little ink stamper. But they had a little cylinder roll, a cuneiform cylinder roll, and they put it on something that looks like a slingshot. And in between the two places where the slingshot rock would go out, they've got this little cylinder roll. It's a round cylinder, and it's got impressions on it that they want to impress on the paper or whatever they're going to put their seal in. In this case, they're going to put the impression in clay. This is what you would roll across clay, and it would put the impression in the clay that you wanted to put. It's got little figures on this roll. But here we've got something that's a roll, and it pictures the dawn is taking hold of the North Pole and the South Pole, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now notice, it is turned as clay to the seal. Picture clay, and picture this roller going across it, and implanting these figures you see on the cylinder. He's talking about the dawn, and it's turned around like a cylinder. And he's telling you that the earth rotates, and the dawn catches the ends of the earth, and that as the earth goes around, that's what causes the dawn to come every morning. They didn't know that at the time this was written. But God and all his angels knew it because they were there. The angels were created by God. And when the universe was created, they knew all these things. But man did not know it. Now again, I'm not presenting this as a scientific discourse so you can say, well, isn't that interesting? I'm presenting it because it shows that our God is the true God and that our God has always known everything there is to know about science. You can have confidence in this God. He is the only God. And so, you know, this may seem to you like, well, this isn't really spiritual talking about science. It's one of the things that keeps me going. I know he's God. And I know he's God because he's proven himself to me. I was saved by grace through faith. A 12-year-old boy scared to death of going to hell. But as I studied the scriptures and I put God to the test, and he says, try me. And I did. I find no error in the word of God. There is no error in any category, and certainly not in science. But today, I would say this. I hear this constantly on planes when I travel. Of course, you know there are contradictions in the Bible. No, I don't know that. And I say, name me one. Most of them can't even name one. And when they do, there's an answer to it. So I'm showing you this. So a lot of you that are going to different schools and colleges, you young people as they grow up, you need to know this. Because they're going to tell you that man evolved. That's false science. Man did not evolve. They're going to feed you a lot of stuff. And they said, they'll use expressions like, well, everyone knows. Or anyone that's educated would understand. And they put you on the defensive and make you think you're an idiot if you don't agree with them. And that is not objective science teaching. The number of stars. Well, the Lord indicated that you couldn't count them. And you know, we've never been able to number them with all our computerization and all our different, because there apparently is no end to the universe. The number of stars, Jeremiah 33:22. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. The host of heaven cannot be numbered. The number of planets, the number of stars, the number of universes, the number of galaxies. Back in those days, the Greeks, this was written by Jeremiah in about 700 B.C., and at that time, most of the Greeks and the other scientists, the Greeks were the major scientists at that time, believed that if you really worked hard enough, you could count all of them. The Lord said, no, they can't be numbered. Since then, we've discovered more and more galaxies. We've never discovered the end of the universe. There may not be an end. I had a fellow one time said, well, there has to be an end. Well, my answer is, if there's an end, what's on the other side? There is no answer to that question. It just goes on and on and on and on. Now, a lot of people that point out these contradictions to me are people who have heard that stated by teachers of evolution, by different science teachers that are atheistic or agnostic, can't make up their mind about God, or already have made up their mind about God. And these teachers keep teaching that, and they try to convince you by statements, as I've already said, like, why any fool would see. Why, certainly you don't believe that. Why, the science contradicts that. Why? And they just go on, they have expression after expression, but they cannot disprove the Bible. I'm sorry, it just cannot be done. Now let's take a look to show that God knew the earth was round and circular. Proverbs 8, 22 through 28, these were probably written somewhere back around 1000 B.C. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. His works of old. This is talking about wisdom. God is referring to wisdom. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. In other words, before God formed and fashioned and created the surface of the earth. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Wisdom has always been with God. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth. And we're going to be talking about that highest part of the dust of the earth, because that's very interesting. See, for a long time, man didn't know what caused precipitation. It's dust. It's the hydroscopic nuclei, the particles in the air. They go up in the atmosphere, and they go up to the highest part. And that's what every little raindrop forms on. Every single little raindrop has a microscopic hydroscopic nuclei, dust, in its center. That's interesting. You see, back there, when this was written in about 1000 B.C., man didn't have any idea about that, but God did. Now look at verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. The word that is used for compass means just what it says, a compass. It's the actual Hebrew word there means compass. And so there's no question it means compass. And meaning compass, it has to mean a compass used for the measurement of a round object. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. God has always known his creation. And back then, men didn't know very much about anything in science. They thought they knew a lot. Today, they know a lot, and they think they know more than God. All they're doing is just discovering what God has already known. Take a look at this in Luke 17, 32 through 36. These men knew that sometimes on other parts of the earth, it was dark. Two men in one bed. Verse 35, two women grinding together. That's a morning scene when they got up in the morning to grind. Two men shall be in the field. That's an afternoon scene. So the Lord indicated in his word that when the rapture occurred, when the catching out of the saints occurred, or when the battle of Armageddon occurred, whatever the case may be, that all over the earth it would occur at a different time. In some places it would be morning, some places in the afternoon, and some places in the evening. And so the word of God is scientifically consistent in every single way. There are absolutely no scientific inconsistencies whatsoever. Now, you know, it's very easy to say, well, I've always believed that. But as I said earlier, this is mostly for the younger generation, because they're having to face things in school where everything is taken for granted and where science is the God and the Bible is not inspired. Let's take a look at cyclonic and anticyclonic flow. That's my field. I'm a professional certified meteorologist. Cyclonic and anticyclonic flow. Now, this is something that, you know, to Don and I was child's play, because we both went through the same basic schools. And we know all about cyclonic and anticyclonic flow. But with the advent of the Weather Channel, if any of you watch it or spend any time watching it, or if you really watch some of these TV weathermen, you know that cyclonic flow goes around a low pressure system. And if you're facing the screen, the low pressure system, it goes around like this in a cyclonic way. If it's an anticyclone, a high pressure system, it goes around like this. We didn't really know this and understand it until Bergeron and Fin Dyson came out with this theory. Now, there were others that held the theory before them. But we didn't know this until roughly the last century. Cyclonic and anticyclonic flow. And yet the Bible, God revealed it a long, long time ago. Ecclesiastes 1 and 6. The wind goeth toward the south. Here comes the wind around the backside of a of a low pressure system. Here we are on the low pressure system. I'm using a Lord's Supper plate. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. That's a low pressure system. That's what it is. Exactly what it says. So what do circuits mean? You see, this was written back about 1000 B.C. And we only discovered this basically in the last century, maybe the century before that. But it's certainly something that is of modern origin. Ecclesiastes 1 and 6. Circuits. Sibayava. Sibayava. A circle where something goes around. A circle where something goes around. Well, take a look at circuits that go around. You see on this chart? Here's your low pressure system going to the south, back around to the north, and just keeps going, 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 going. And eventually it returns back to where it came from. You know, you trace a particle of air over the last 6,000 years, it's been just about everywhere. These are circuits. The wind follows circuits. The wind follows patterns. God knew that way back from the beginning of creation. Who do you think controls cyclones and anticyclones? Who do you think controls highs and lows? Who do you think controls the wind? Who do you think controls everything? Almighty God. One of the things that's kept me in the ministry, there are many things, but God has proven himself to me in the things that I see and taste and touch and feel. God has proven himself to me in nature. He is the creator and God of nature and the controller of it. And so when I pray, I'm praying to a God who is not only the savior of my soul, but a God who has all power and who has manifested himself very clearly in nature to prove that he is God and that he can do exactly what he says. Now, one of the interesting things that man had no idea about until fairly modern times. Matter is composed of atoms. You know, you can't see an atom unless they've come up with something since I graduated from Arkansas Tech University that I'm not aware of. We have never been able to photograph one. We have never been able to actually see an atom. Magnification and other techniques, we just can't see them. We know they're there because they follow certain laws. And because we experiment and have determined that they do this and do that and do this and do that when different compounds are mixed together, we know that atoms exist. We're absolutely positive of it. And yet we cannot see them, but they manifest their existence and their reactions are predictable one with another. But we've never seen them. Can you imagine back in the time of Socrates, Aristotle, and the other great scholars, if someone had told them that all the things that were on the earth and everything in the universe was made up of things that you couldn't see, they would have laughed them to scorn. But God has always known that. We've only discovered it in recent times. These little atoms you see on the screen are invisible. But take a look at what the writer of Hebrews 11:3 said. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that the worlds, the universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, the constellations, everything material that you can see and taste and touch and feel, this wood, this speaker, this suit I'm wearing, this body I have, all these things were framed by the word of God. And yet, what made them are the things you cannot see. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God knew you couldn't see them. And yet that's how God created the universe, and God owns, operates, and controls every single ion and every single atom in the universe. Structure of atoms. One of the most important things to keep in mind about the atom is its size. A single atom is so small that it's difficult to even imagine. In fact, no one has actually seen a single atom. It would take more than a million average atoms side by side to equal the thickness of the paper on which this page is printed. Anything so small cannot be studied individually. Again, it was necessary to invent a scientific model to describe the structure of a single atom. Experiments carried out over hundreds of years have shown that atoms must have some connection with electricity. Scientists of the 18th century, such as Benjamin Franklin, demonstrated that matter contains two kinds of electricity. It was Ben Franklin who first called the two kinds of electrical charge negative and positive. But God has always known this, because God made the universe out of things that man can't see, and he made them to appear. Now, there's another thing that man has come up with, a brilliant discovery that in ancient times they had no concept of whatsoever. And today many college professors sit in their classrooms, doctor's degrees, brilliant men, and they say, well, I guess that shows there's no God, because this uniformitarianism and the various systems that are used and various laws of conservation indicate certain things. But I want you to notice that God knew this, because God's the one that made it. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. God, a long time ago, made the universe. Since that time, he has used it, manipulated it. He has changed one thing from another thing. He has used the elements and combined them. There's nothing new. God made the universe. He created it, everything in it. Since that time, he has merely worked within what he already created, made all sorts of transformations. But there isn't anything new. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Now I want you to notice this brilliant thing that scientists have now come up with. It's true. But God has known this for a long period of time. A law concerning the conservation of matter parallels the law of conservation of energy. The law states that matter cannot neither can be created nor destroyed. Suppose fire destroys a piece of paper. After the fire is out, if all the original molecules of the paper from the gases and ash formed during the burning could be reassembled, there would be just as many molecules after the fire as before the fire. According to this law, matter can change form, but is never destroyed. Until recently, the laws of conservation of energy and conservation of matter were thought to be completely true. However, discoveries in nuclear energy now show that matter can be converted into energy. The amount of energy obtained from a certain amount of mass is E. Energy equals mass times the constant of sunlight squared. E equals mc squared. Now here's an interesting thing. Man can take, this is material, energy is over here. Man can take mass, and he can take this constant squared, which is mass, which is a form of something you can see and taste and touch and feel, and he can burn it, and he can create energy. Man can work this way across this equal sign, E equals mc squared. But only God can do this. God can take what was burned and take the energy and change it back into what it was or anything else he wants. Only God can do that. God can operate on both sides of the equation. Man can only operate on one. E represents the energy released. M is the quantity of mass converted into energy. And c squared, the speed of light squared. The equation was derived by Dr. Albert Einstein. It has been verified by many experiments. Because mass and energy are equivalent, the law of conservation of energy and the law of conservation of mass are now combined into one law. The sum total of matter plus energy in the universe is a constant. It's a constant as long as God lets it be a constant. God created it as a constant. He works within it. But God can change all that because he made the original creation. But God's the only one who can take energy and make it into this. If I burned this whole piece of wood here, this gigantic piece of wood, I could never recreate that from it. But God can. I could burn this and create energy, but I could never take that energy and turn it back into this. God can. But all these discoveries we've made in recent times are merely a confirmation that God knows what he's doing and we just think we do. And so it's a quarter till, and I'll stop, and I'll continue with this in the Sunday school lesson next Sunday morning.